Relevance Podcast. Anytime, anywhere. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's the December 1st edition of the Relevant Podcast, the audio companion to Relevant Magazine and relevantmagazine.com. I'm Cameron Strang, and here with me is our fat and happy, well-fed,
wow,
post-Thanksgiving editorial crew. I wasn't looking at you. Editorial Director Kara Davis.
It's good to be back.
Managing Editor Adam Smith.
Hello, everybody.
That was my fat and happy voice.
Hello. I am fat and sleepy.
And British.
Well, fat and happy. Mm-hmm. And web content producer Jesse Carey.
Happy holidays, all. That's how I greet people.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. We're Christians. We say Merry Christmas.
Well, I was extending that.
Every other holiday.
Oh. Yeah, I was extending that to Thanksgiving.
Jesse
as well.
Has joined the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
After a trans fat free Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've taken up arms in the war on Christmas. Yeah,
and I'm enlisted.
And I'm fighting Christmas. And Christmas is beating me.
Coming up in the podcast today, we have a couple good things in the hopper.
I thought that went away during the holidays.
It's not as full as it was before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But there's still a couple good things.
Some of the stuff that was left over in the hopper is getting kind of rancid now.
Yeah, well, you had to clean out the hopper.
Gotta hose it.
Out in the yard.
We hosed it, and then we put good stuff back in it. So, coming up later is an interview with singer-songwriter and author Tara Lee Cobble. And we also have an edition of Verses coming up. But there's a couple differences going to happen this week. I guess I'll go ahead and tell you now.
Oh, boy.
I have to leave after doing the podcast. And, you know, we have to record Verses separately. So I will not be part of this week's Verses. I am relinquishing my Quizmaster throne.
Whoa.
To Kara Davis.
Wow. Woo!
So, Kara, wow. You're going to have to come up with all the questions.
All right.
And the competitor will be Adam Smith. And we're going to be taking on Andy Behrens, who actually does the Switchfoot podcast. And he threw down the gauntlet and said he wanted the Switchfoot podcast to go up against the Relevant podcast in a game of Verses. Okay, well, coming out in theaters today, December 1st, we got a couple of selections. 10 items or less.
Sounds like a grocery store film.
With Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's in it, and it has to do with a grocery store.
Does he play God?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the prequel to Bruce.
He's been typecast.
Yeah.
So, Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj.
Let's just not even comment there.
Yeah.
And The Nativity Story, starring people whose name I can't pronounce. It's about Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty accurate. It was actually the first film to premiere at the Vatican.
Yeah, but ironically, the second film to premiere at the Vatican was Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj.
Yeah, yeah. The Pope didn't make it to it. Right.
They just opened a new theater at the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, as long as we're showing movies, let's put that Van Wilder thing on. Kick back. Have some fun with that one. Yeah.
Some hijinks at the Vatican.
Let's just have a few laughs tonight, guys.
The College of Cardinals, you know? It's like a big fraternity, those guys. Just kidding.
Woosley's in it.
Yeah. Woosley's like...
He's making the popcorn.
Yeah, Woosley's here and he brought Van Wilder. You guys want to pop it in?
I love that guy.
Well, it was actually... there's a lot of controversy. I'm sure you guys heard about it. But the star of the film was 16 years old, and she didn't come to the premiere because she's pregnant in real life.
Yep.
And the Pope wasn't there. The officials say it's because he was preparing for his trip to Turkey. Well, some people were assuming that he was trying to distance himself from any kind of controversy.
You know what happens when you assume? don't you?
It could be that he's busy, too busy to watch a movie.
I mean, who does he think he is? The leader of a religion?
He showed up for Van Wilder, though.
He was in the back with like a baseball hat on.
Yeah,
he was
like, I'm just going to drop in for Van Wilder. And I can't make it to the other one, guys.
Well, he asked to sit in the back because of the Pope hat. Really. Is
people get mad. People get mad when he sits up front.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than when I go to the movies and the Pope's sitting in front
it's
of
like,
me.
It's like, come on, every time.
Okay, coming out in store. Oh, there's one more. There was several hard returns on the list, so I thought that was all. Wow. There's one more. It's called Turistas. Yeah. It's that horror movie.
Yeah,
it's
a dumb thing about Brazil.
Yeah. When I was in the theater and that trailer came on, people started booing.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
Because it looks like so absurd.
How many times have they made this movie now? They had like Hostel. They had like, what, Wrong Turn. They had
Lethal Weapon.
Hills Have Eyes.
The Saw trilogy.
Lethal Weapon 2.
You know, they had
Santa Claus 3.
The Santa Claus 3. You know, it's like they keep making this movie over and over and over. And this time they insert Portuguese in it and expect to fool us with it.
All right, coming out in stores on Tuesday, December 5th, we've got a cut list with a live album called Live in Portland. It's a CD and DVD. Hmm. Be Your Own Pet with the aptly titled Be Your Own Pet on Universal. And We Are Scientists with Crap Attack.
I think that's an import. I know it came out in Canada last month. I think it's coming out here.
Yeah, you know, we got a bunch of letters from our Canadian listeners when I was talking about Chaos last week and said it's coming out in February. They're like, no, it's already out. It's already out in Canada. It's coming out in the U.S. in February.
You guys are lucky.
All right, well, that'll do it for your entertainment releases. Up next, we've got Slices. You're listening to Norma Jean. The song is Blueprints for Future Homes. It's on the album Redeemer.
It is a face melter.
It is the featured video right now over at Relevant TV. Norma Jean's a little harder than we normally would go with Relevant TV, but visually it is probably the most amazing video we've ever played, short of See Your Rose.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the podcast, you heard the one, the only, Jars of Clay, with the song Work off their album Good Monsters. That video is also playing new this week over at relevant.tv.
A lot of requests for that.
Lot of requests. So, you know what, Jars of Clay Street team? You can stop requesting it. Because it's playing. So, now with Slices, here's Kara Davis.
Yesterday and today was the 2006 Global Summit on AIDS at the Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, Rick Warren's church.
I was supposed to go to that. Was it already? You're it's late. This week?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, nuts. Seriously, I was supposed to go to that.
Did they like buy you airplane tickets?
No, or, like, no. But I was planning on going for some reason. I missed my workshop.
You're the keynote.
No, I. Dang
if
it.
You if Oops. You get in the car now,
yeah,
you might make
start
it.
You can be now. There in about 60 hours.
Oh well, sorry.
There were video presentations by Bill and Melinda Gates, Bono, Senator Bill Frist, but all people attending or speaking there. There was a slew of people, but Franklin Graham, Barack Obama, John Ortberg, bunch of people from the government, like World Vision, Compassion International, so other organizations like that.
They're not from the government.
Well, in addition to government officials.
Oh, gotcha.
I've heard a lot of controversy from more conservative people that they were worried about Barack Obama.
Conservatives.
Yeah. You know,
but he shared the state, like on the same stage they had like Brownback, who is ultra, you know what I mean? You can't get more.
Senator Brownback.
Yeah. Senator. Well, and Senator Barack
Mr.
Obama.
Mr. Barack.
Yeah. Like someone just because of their political affiliation doesn't have something interesting or meaningful to say about AIDS. Like, what does that have to do
ridiculous.
With someone's political affiliation?
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that they had the audacity of having people from two different sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
It's like good for
that's
them.
Some kind of audacity of hope
now,
right there.
Yeah. If they only had people from one side and not the other, I'd have a problem on either way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad it was balanced.
And it wasn't like it was a summit on, you know, abortion or anything, you know, some controversial hot button. It's AIDS relief, you know, and helping people. Well, everyone's really excited, including myself, about the new Rocky movie.
He's going to go the distance one last time.
That's right. And he's doing a lot of press, and he actually did a little interview with us that you have to wait for the new magazine to read, because it has a lot of faith themes in it, that he, you know, Rocky's a Christian now, and even Sylvester Stallone is saying that he's kind of refound his faith. And he also talked about, he heard a story about this village in Burma, and so he wants to make a film where he goes to rescue Christian missionaries that are being held in Burma as Rambo. The next Rambo, he's going to Burma to rescue Christian missionaries. And like he even mentioned something like, and Rambo, you know, is really affected by their faith.
Yeah, the thing I love about this that I actually find rather endearing about Sly is that, you know, when we were talking to him, he was talking about reading this book about persecuted people in Burma and how it just really moved his heart, touched him. And he's like, you know, I thought, I want to make a movie about this. So that's what Rambo is about. So it's like the answer to these persecuted people, you know, they're standing up for their faith, is Rambo comes and kills all their persecutors.
Yeah. I can't wait, because if there's one thing that's cooler than a Christian Rocky, which there's not much, it's a it's Christian, a Christian Rambo.
Rocky and Rambo are the same person to me in my mind. Mm. I was so young.
Yeah. Oh, not me. I was young, but I was very impressionable, and they both made profound. They both made profound, but different effects on me.
Now they can both. They do both share the trait of being able to dislocate their jaw while screaming.
Yeah,
and they do that a lot.
And the trait of, you know, a high propensity for violence. But
I've never seen a Rocky nor Rambo movie.
What? Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, are you
good? Rocky
1 through 3 were legitimately good movies.
They are inspiring. I'm sure like any, like they're like Hoosiers. I see Hoosiers.
Never seen Hoosiers.
Maybe one of the most inspiring films ever.
But then Rocky 4 is good. Like it's entertaining, but it's not good, you know. Yeah. But it was single-handedly responsible for bringing down the Berlin Wall. And because he, communism.
Because then I would say it would be great.
He fights a Russian.
I know when that happened.
That's right. Yeah. He can. Ivan. If Rocky can change, we can all change.
You need to watch it for real, though.
Speaking
and
of
Star Wars and cheesecake,
I've seen Star Wars.
You haven't eaten cheesecake?
Never had cheesecake.
Wow. You just didn't like Star Wars.
I was indifferent about. I mean, I don't. Yeah.
If I had to give up Rocky or cheesecake, I'd give up cheesecake.
Yeah.
I would.
Not
too.
Missing much.
I would too. I love cheesecake too. but speaking of the Eye of the Tiger, a U.S. district judge has ruled that the Treasury Department has to do something to make our paper money recognizable to the blind, so that they have to change it somehow. Whether it be embossed dots, raised ink, different sizes, something like that.
Nobody even uses cash anymore.
Recognizable to the blind.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't see how that could be a bad thing. You know?
It'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, why would it be bad to make money recognizable for blind people?
Well, you saw the whole Ray Charles movie, how the promoters.
Yeah, they would try to jip him.
Pay him the wrong amount. Uh-huh. So he won everything.
Seems like
singles.
It's a little late for something like this.
Yeah.
A little. Is it ever too late to help the blind?
Well, we're saying we're moving to
make the
cashless.
Debit cards have Braille and the little checkout things where you punch in your PIN. Make that Braille.
We're moving to a cashless society, but we're not there.
Why don't you just stick a chip in your hand and we don't have to worry about any of this?
Have you guys ever been to a drive-through window and they had Braille on there?
Yes. Yeah. And at toll booth.
I mean, did you ponder that?
You're right. It's never too late to help.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, how are they driving through?
Helped the blind the last 150 years. Let's just stay the course. You know, ride this thing out.
Like the judge gave the
Maybe
Treasury Department.
Stop being blind.
The judge gave the Treasury Department like 10 days to start figuring something out.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good that we're
200
this is
years
after
too
a
late.
A four year legal fight.
Wow.
I know. This is another big one that's been in the headlines lately.
The paper is so flimsy. Like, it seems even if it was raised, it might get lowered.
I heard that we're the only.
The bill's different sizes.
I heard, we're the only country that has paper bills that are all identical size and color.
Yeah, they're called wallet size. What are we going to do if they're like an 8x10 sheet of paper for a $100 bill?
There's one the size of a bed sheet.
That's the $1 million bill.
The $1 million bill. If you ever have one.
Those big jumbo checks actually become like
our form of currency.
Yeah. You have won a sweepstakes or you have a $100 bill.
We joked earlier about the war on Christmas. But it's
always
no
joking,
matter.
It is to me. it's already back in the news. First, the U.S. Supreme Court has taken no action on upholding an appeal decision by the New York City's ban on nativity scenes in public schools. So, you know, people are still kind of fighting that. They want public schools to have nativity scenes, but right now they're not
trying
allowed
to get rid of trans fats, nativity scenes. What's next?
Exactly.
Slippery slope.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And also this is funny. The city of Chicago puts on this big event, and it's called Christ Kindle Market. And basically they have all these vendors come out in the streets and sell holiday related items, but mainly it's Christmas stuff. And New Line wanted to sponsor it and show a loop of the nativity story, and the city said no because they didn't want it to look like it was sponsored by a religion. And so, even though it's called Christ Kindle Market,
was it like a German thing?
I can only assume.
Well, Christ Kindle Market is there like a cathedral there at the square or something? It's probably named after a church that's nearby.
Yeah, it doesn't
historical
say.
Or something.
I mean, it's probably. It probably has something to do with that, but it's put on by the mayor's office of special events, and so there is a nativity scene.
Not of
there.
Special needs.
No, there is a nativity scene, but there's also like menorahs and other sort of.
As Christmas has come into full swing, I don't know, this sounds stupid, but I mean, I've been really kind of challenged with not getting caught up in like American Christmas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know what? It's not about, it just sounds so cliche to say this, but I mean, it's not about the gifts. It's not about, you know, all the other trappings of the holiday season. It's, you know, it really is a very somber and holy, you know, religious kind of moment for us. Mm-hmm. As believers. And the thing that's the thing that's like impacted me most in that area is Sufjan Stevens's new Christmas album.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is a worship experience.
It really is.
I mean, some of the stuff that they wrote, you know, is, you know, it's just fun little ditties or whatever. But he goes back and sings the hymns. Mm-hmm. And he sings, you know, Amazing Grace and Holy, 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 and all these old hymns, and ties them in to Christmas. And it's just so powerful because that's what it is, you know? Like, it's like you listen to that album and it just puts you in this mind frame of just connection with God, and you really are worshiping Him and remembering what Christmas is. And then, you know, you flip on TV and you see all the holiday ads and the consumerism and whatever. And it is so jarring, you know, the difference.
I'll tell you the thing that does bring it back to earth, though, is the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Because that really is.
Linus tells Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a thing on NPR and they had a little special about the, you know, because it's been going on for like 35 years in prime time, you know. And, you know, and it really tackled, originally CBS didn't want to run it. Because they said, you know, this is a cartoon that's talking about consumerism and faith. They're like, they don't go together. And I mean, it's settled with people for so long because it's something that people need to be reminded of this time of year. And, you know, I want to enjoy Christmas and have a good time, like traveling and seeing people. But I think it's important. I don't think it's wrong to like enjoy the time of year and all the fun stuff that goes along to it, as long as, you know, obviously remembering what it's about, you know, which is easy to forget a lot of times when it's just bye, bye, bye.
Listen to this. This is a little bit of Sufjan Stevens's Holy, Holy, Holy on his new album called Songs for Christmas. like this. Except, I mean, there's traditional Christmas songs as well, but it just puts the entire, there's 42 songs, and it puts the entire holiday season in perspective.
One thing I really have enjoyed about that album set is that it's so organic feeling, and it doesn't feel like it has any sort of, there's not overproduced, there's no, you don't feel like it's an agenda, you feel it's people just put it out just because they wanted to, you know, and it just, yeah, it's refreshing.
Here's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel on the banjo.
I like the banjo.
Who would have thunk?
You know, when they originally made this, it wasn't for Matt. He just made it for his friends.
Really?
And he made all these songs, but they thought it was so good, they got to sell it to people.
Well, yeah, the Put the Lights on the Tree song, that leaked like a year ago.
Yeah, he just did it for his friends and family. And you totally get that feel that it's so genuine.
It's just so intimate.
Yeah.
It's like a peek inside of his heart. I mean. And ransom captive pays right now. That mourns in lonely. I don't know. His interpretation of these songs just brings out new meaning and context for me. You know, you sound these a million times, holding the candle in the service, whatever. There's something intimate about this.
Yeah.
This sounds funny. This reminds me of like a lute and all these things. Like, and I honestly picture like medieval times or Renaissance times, right?
Like when he's wearing leggings,
yeah, and a little skirt and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but I picture like that the Christmas experience that people had, that believers had back then when they sang these songs. Maybe this song wasn't around then, but you know, when they sang songs at Christmas, that, I don't know, that innocence and that purity, like that they probably had at that time, because there wasn't the consumerism of Christmas, and they were literally just remembering Christ's birth and honoring it. Like, that comes through to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's this purity to Christmas when you listen to this album, and I've been listening to it literally nonstop for the last week.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
I can't stop listening to it.
I mean,
for the Radiant newsletter this week, I did a story on like the history of Christmas and the superstitions and how it came about. So it just seemed like when, you know, it was established as an observation for the Christian faith, it was really opposed by church leaders of the day, because pagan culture celebrated the births of their gods and historical leaders. But Constantine declared Christianity as, you know, the empire's favored religion, and that Christmas would be celebrated, or, the, you know, Christ's birth would be commemorated on December 25th. But a lot of the, you know, a lot of the traditions and even the decorations and things like that came out of superstitions to kind of protect homes against the evilness of the winter solstice and things like that. And then even like the Christkindlin character person, which means like Christ child in German or something, it was reportedly a person who brought gifts to children on Christmas Eve, and that's kind of where the Kris Kringle and Santa Claus thing came out of. So I don't know, I just feel like there's so much of the history is wrapped up in superstition and other sort of man-made kind of things, and I think it is good if we say, hey, you know what, we can redeem Christmas and let's make it about, you know, remembering Christ's birth or whatever. And I think that that's fine, but
yeah, it's part of Jesus redeeming culture,
right?
You know, like taking the things that were pagan, maybe had negative connotations, and bringing out the good in them.
Well, on that note, a detour. That'll do it for Slices. Up next, we will interview singer-songwriter Tara Lee Cobble. Stay tuned. You're listening to Snow Patrol. The song is Chasing Cars, and it's from the album Eyes Open. It's currently playing right now at Relevant TV.
I feel very OC when I hear that.
On a very special, all new The OC.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Very special and all new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I love those, yeah. And one of these characters will go forever.
And it's like, the maid. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Because she's like in the background. They're flashing all the famous faces. Yeah. Like she's actually in the background in one of the shots. It's like, oh, she's back there. Dang it.
I have to say, they manned up, though, and they killed off a major character. So
I can't say I've ever seen the show.
I mean, the OC, what's that?
Yeah, I think the phrase the OC manned up, that's an oxymoron right there.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Is that some kind of jumbo television show?
Tara Lee Cobble is a longtime friend of Relevance, and she's also...
Long time. I've known her since we were 10. Or have she was really? Maybe 9. Yeah.
Have you really?
Her parents owned a Christian bookstore, and my parents are in Christian publishing. And so, inevitably... Every summer there was a Christian trade show where those two entities would come together. It was fun. It was good times. Anyway, I knew Tara, so then I went and into media, and she went and became apparently an incredibly good singer-songwriter who has a following and tours 200 dates a year and lives in New York.
Wow.
And is making great music. So it's actually kind of funny that 20 years later we're still... interacting. So the way we've recently done a book with Tara Lee, it's called Here's the Hindsight.
Yeah, it's a collection of essays, just kind of observations about life that Tara has garnered on the road as an independent musician, and kind of looking back at her upbringing and her past. And she just has an incredible writing style and a way of looking at the world that when you read it, you think, oh, that's exactly how I thought of it, but I never could articulate it like that.
Out of all the, 60, 70 books Roland Books has done in the last, 20 years.
Well, that's true.
In the last
that's
5 years.
That's absolutely true.
Tara's is a top 5. It's, anybody who reads it, comments how great the book is. It's hilarious. It's poignant. It's just a great read.
And she also has a CD that came out at the same time, also called Here's the Hindsight.
And here's a sample of her song Somehow Stay from Here's the Hindsight.
This doesn't feel like home at all. All of Eden's lost and gone. I tried rebuilding paradise.
You can check her out at TaraLeeCobble.com. It's L-E-I-G-H, Tara Lee Cobble. And here's an excerpt of the interview that we had with her recently.
Well, Tara Lee, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We wanted to talk with you about your book and just kind of what you have going on. First of all, why'd you write the book? You're a communicator. You communicate through songs in your concert. What is it that you wanted to say you couldn't through song?
One of the things that has been a constant theme in my life is just sort of the way that as I look back over things in my life that were frustrating or were heartbreaking or where I felt like my life wasn't exactly the way I wanted it to be, or the way I had planned for it to be, I can look back and see sort of how God worked in those times, the times that I hated my job or was in a bad relationship, and I can see His hand in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's really hard to condense into a song.
Right.
And so telling that story and lining those things up and showing the way that God's hand has worked in all of those was something that I feel like was important for me in order to remind myself how God has been faithful and therefore will always be faithful. But also even just hearing other people's stories, and I think seeing that, the way that He does it in their lives, has been something that's encouraging. So to have it all in a book format where I can read it and be reminded of that and have other people be reminded of that is something that was important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a big theme in the book is kind of pursuing your dreams against all odds, that kind of thing. Tell us about how you got into music and how you stuck with it over the years.
I started writing songs when I was a kid, and most of the songs that I wrote were horrible for about the first 10 or 15 years that I wrote songs. And whenever I was in a relationship in college that ended, my songs started getting a lot better. I
think right.
That the cliche that broken hearts make better art became true in my case. And so some of those songs were the first songs on my first albums. And I had a friend who asked me about playing a concert for his youth group, and I did that, and when I did that, that was a big shifting point in my life, because everything that I had planned and mapped out became suddenly obsolete when I felt like God was saying, this is what you're supposed to do. And so I called the employer that was going to employ me and let them know that I wasn't going to be coming there to work after all, that I was going to go on the road in my car with my guitars and play songs for people. And so I just called everyone that I knew who had the power to get me a booking and traveled around in my car. And by the end of the summer, after I graduated college, I had my fall booked. And by the end of the fall, I had the winter booked. And it was just almost alarming how it all came together when God opened those doors.
How many years has it been now?
6 and a half.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it's been a long, hard journey, a lot of which I detail in the book. But God has always sustained me through that, and that's been the kind of thing that I've seen His hand in that, and that sort of propels me toward the toward continuing this, even though it's been kind of a hard journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cameron mentioned earlier in the podcast that he knew you when. And you knew Cameron when. So do you have any, any dirt to dish on Cameron as a child?
Let's see. Wow. When Cameron was young, he was really, I don't know how true this still rings, but Cameron was really into rap music a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. And I have a lot of pictures of him wearing, like, oversized basketball jerseys and things like that. And but my favorite picture from our childhood is when I was really into country music. And so I'm wearing, like, some kind of, like, large cowboy hat and a belt buckle and cowboy boots. And Cameron is wearing all his hip-hop gear. And we're standing beside each other. And I had this giant crush on him as a kid. He was just, oh, he made my knees weak. And so in the picture, which I had hung in my locker, like, I think in middle school, in the picture I have one of those thought bubbles over my head that, you know, like, you can buy them at Walmart and, like, you put them on the pictures. And mine just, it's, like, me and Cameron, and my thought bubble says, I love you.
Wow. This is the juiciest podcast interview ever.
Well, the funny thing is, it was clearly a relationship that would never work with my being, you know,
a country lover.
Country and him the city
right.
guy. And
exactly.
Yeah, he's all urban, and I'm all backwoods. And,
wow.
I think we've both grown and changed a lot since then, but,
wow.
Still embarrassing that I have this picture nonetheless.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, thanks for joining us today, and hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's popping like West Coast in 83 when we was bumping Slave Rick James and Lady T. My man with the East Coast taste from Red Alert. Pete Rock, Molly Mall, putting in work. On the West, we had Julio G on K Day. Mix Masters, Michael Mixon, Moen.
You're listening to Mad Lib. The song is called Take It Back. That's a life lesson right there. Somebody took something, you take it back.
That's right.
Take back
or
Christmas.
Or it could be like, you know.
It's about Christmas.
Take back trans fats.
You know, yeah,
take
it could
back
be like,
Christmas.
I was talking about Christmas, I take it back.
Yeah.
I switch sides.
Oh. Or there's someone who said something insulting to them and they're like, take it back.
See, I don't really take it back because I'm actually a spy in the war on Christmas for the sides of non-Christmas.
You don't get poisoned.
Because you both said that at the same time, it actually worries me. That's the first thing you both thought of.
What was that?
I'm still working on finding that radioactive substance, by the way.
Okay. So what we're going to have to do here is splice in an edition of verses. Again, I'm not going to be here when we record it. So Kara's going to take the Quizmaster throne. Adam's going up against Switchfoot.
Yeah, so what you're about to hear is me beating Andy Behrens. It hasn't even happened yet, but
you're predicting. You're getting bold like Jesse was, and he got shown the door.
You might have to take it back.
I've got.
On that note,
he's like, "Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night. Thank you. Good night."
It sounds like, "Can I have a refill?
Can I get a refill? Good night."
That's awful. All right.
See, so, that's why I should have left the first one, you know, not try to drag it out.
It's true. All right, so here is the second to last edition of Versus.
Okay, Adam, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to keep the podcast winning streak alive. Take us, what would this post, 4-1?
That's right, 4-1.
4-1.
All right, Jess, you going to keep time for us?
All right, ready and begin.
Where was Jesus most likely to have been born? I'm looking for a physical place, not a city.
A cave.
What is MacGyver's first name?
Angus.
Which two airports are neck and neck in terms of the busiest in the country?
Atlanta and LAX.
What actor portrayed Madonna's father in the video for Papa Don't Preach?
Gosh, Harry Dean Stanton.
While it's known for macadamia nuts and pineapple, Hawaii is the only state to grow this product. Food product.
Sugar cane.
What leader was too sick to attend his own birthday party this week?
Castro.
What actor went on a profanity-laced rant about Bush on The View this week?
I don't know. Tim Robbins.
What did God tell Adam and Eve would happen if they ate from the forbidden tree?
Pass.
Name one of the four sections of a symphony orchestra.
Woodwinds.
Name one of the top 100 greatest catchphrases in TV as cataloged recently by the TV and Land cable network.
Oh, top catchphrases. Oh, gosh.
15 seconds. You're down to 10.
Dynamite.
All right.
Not bad.
Well, the first question, Jesus was most likely to have been born in a cave.
A little trivia for you.
Yeah. MacGyver's first name is Angus, like the beef. The two busiest airports are Chicago O'Hare and Atlanta. Madonna's father in Papa Don't Preach is played by Danny Aiello. And Hawaii's the only state that grows coffee.
I actually had heard that before. I had no idea about Angus, though. Okay. Only a nerd would know that.
Fidel Castro was too sick to attend his own birthday party this week. Danny DeVito went on a profanity-laced rant about Bush Wednesday on The View. And Adam and Eve, God told them that they would die if they ate from the forbidden tree.
Surely die.
Yeah. The four sections of a symphony orchestra, brass, woodwinds, percussion, and string. And I will not attempt to name the top 100 greatest catchphrases on TV, but that's a pretty much a give me question if you can think of any.
Yeah.
At all.
So Adam got 5 out of 10. Andy from the Switchfoot podcast has to get better than that. So let's go ahead and give him a call and see how this smack talker can do.
Hello?
Andy?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Kara Davis from Relevant. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. So Cameron is out of town, so I am the guest quiz master.
The quiz master.
Yeah. So we've actually already given the quiz to Adam, so you'll be going up against Adam this week.
Okay.
And so I'll start with questions for you.
90 seconds.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Where was Jesus most likely to have been born? I'm looking for a physical place, not the city.
A stable.
What was MacGyver's first name?
Jack.
Which two airports are neck and neck in terms of busiest in the country?
Chicago and JFK.
What actor portrayed Madonna's father in the video for Papa Don't Preach?
The Mario Brothers? I don't know.
While it's known for macadamia nuts and pineapple, Hawaii is the only state to grow this food. It's a breakfast beverage.
The poi?
Okay. What leader was too sick to attend his own birthday party this week?
I don't know. Not the dong.
What actor went on a profanity-laced rant about Bush on The View this week?
Michael Richards.
What did God tell Adam and Eve would happen if they ate from the forbidden tree?
They would be separated from God forever.
Name one of the four sections of a symphony orchestra.
Brass.
Name one of the top 100 greatest catchphrases in TV. Just a famous...
Let's make a deal.
Okay.
I don't know. How'd I do?
All right, let me see here. Looks like two.
Two? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I listen to it and I get like eight.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, thanks for playing.
Well...
That was painful.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like my questions were too hard.
And who am I to talk, you know, but I think they weren't that bad. And I know for a fact that Andy thinks that he could have beat us. And so, but last time I checked, the score is Relevant One, Switchfoot Podcast Zero. And my question is, what is poi?
I have no idea.
And do they grow it in Hawaii?
All right, well, tune in next week for the final episode of Versus.
That's a problem, Andy. God knows I've been taking my love without giving back. You got a gift to get. You got a gift to give back. You got a gift to get. You got a gift to give back. You got a gift to get. You got a gift to give back.
You're listening to El Perro del Mar. I butchered that. El Perro del Mar. The song is called God Knows. It's true. And the album is called El Perro del Mar. And it's the song, the video is playing right now over Relevant TV.
Does that mean the dog of the ocean?
I think it's chicken of the sea.
Chicken of the sea.
Feedback. Now it's time for your feedback. Last podcast, a couple weeks ago, we asked you what you wanted for Christmas, but there were a lot of parameters. There's a lot of rules here. Callahan MacIver.
That is not this person's name.
MacIver, not MacGyver.
That is the greatest name I've ever heard.
Yeah. Callahan?
Callahan MacIver?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Callahan, can we be best friends?
Is his life like an action movie, you know?
Tonight on Callahan MacIver.
He just kicks down doors wherever he goes.
He's like a Scottish crime fighter.
Yeah, he's like Sherlock.
Please, a lot of you.
Yeah, he's like a Sherlock Holmes type of guy meets like Chuck Norris. He wears action jeans wherever he goes.
No, he doesn't. He wears action boots with kilts.
Kilts. Okay, fair. I wouldn't want anyone to kick if they're wearing a kilt.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of kicking.
There's a lot of kicking on Callahan MacIver.
P.I. All right. Okay, so he wrote down the rules as we gave them. That's what he says. Okay. Here's the rules as you gave them. Any physical, tangible object, something money can buy, has to currently exist, can't sell it, something about leprechauns, extra credit if you illustrate them, you have to receive it and keep it. And it has to be only one item, not one with a bunch of items, not a bunch of other items in it.
Like okay. The castle in the
like
movies.
The castle crayon full of everything else. Yeah, no.
It's not just something about leprechauns. It's everything about leprechauns. If you don't get the leprechauns part, you miss the entire crux of this thing.
That is great.
The point of the leprechauns, Callahan MacIver, was that you can't ask for more wishes. You can't ask for more Christmas.
You can't ask for more leprechauns.
You can't say that what you want for Christmas awesome. Is a million more.
Yeah.
Christmas.
So what was his grand request? Or was his sole purpose of emailing us just to establish the parameters?
No. He said he didn't want cash or a car or anything. He just wants this sign that he saw at the Minnesota Zoo to hang up in his dorm room. And that's it. So I'll post it over at the podcast stuff page.
Did he send a picture? Is that what you're saying?
What does that say?
Several people sent pictures like we asked them to. And I'll post them all up there at the podcast stuff page.
I thought Callahan would say that he wants justice for his slain partner.
Let me just say, I can't read the sign from the zoo on the podcast.
Oh, gosh. But you can post it?
Donegan McGillicuddy.
Touche.
You're a cop on the edge.
That is disturbing.
Yeah. I've got to avenge my partner!
As he kicks the door down.
And kills. Oh, come on, Callahan. Can't you let her chop or
You're
something?
You're out of line, MacIver. That's what his chief would say. Turn in your badge. You're a daft chief.
So
maybe he could put up some sensor bars.
He has an American Chief, he's a cop here in America.
Yeah. No, he's in Scotland. This no, chief just doesn't have an accent.
No, I picture him as like they never give any explanation of why. No, no, he's like in L.A. You know, like where there's no other Scott.
He's in Omaha.
Yeah. And he fights people. He doesn't even carry a gun. He carries a caber and just throws it at people.
Can we see a movie poster?
Oh, man. Callahan McIver.
Yeah. P.I.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop kicking, please. Please. learn a chop that's, or like a punch.
That's actually why the movie received its R rating. Because of all the kicking.
Yeah, he does.
Tonight at 11.
The criminals, he just did
a very special all new.
Callahan McIver.
The criminals everything run changes before the foot even hits their face.
Oh, jeez, he's kicking again.
Yeah,
let's get out of here, guys.
He's just doing the Karate Kid crane maneuver. Oh, no, come on.
No
come
bank on robbery is worth this.
Seriously.
Tonight, on a very special Callahan MacGyver.
MacGyver, get down!
Watch out! My partner, he's dead!
One of these characters
leaves forever.
Maisie, can't you see that I love you? Take me back, Maisie!
Give me your badge! It's the last time I asked for you to stop kicking!
You're daft, Chief! I'm kicking my way to justice!
Callahan, look behind you!
No!
Ripped from the headlines. A Callahan MacGyver. You for you and your whole family. Tonight on TGIF.
I finally learned the true meaning of Christmas.
Sufjan Stevens guest stars are a very special Callahan MacGyver.
You play the banjo, I'll play the pipes.
Okay. Okay.
That is the greatest show that has ever been on television.
There better be some sort of poster.
It's on HBO. Though, yeah. Of all the kicking.
Yeah. It's pay-per-view. Straight to DVD. Well, I guess we should move on to actual feedback. Now back from the... Coming back out of the hopper. We were in there for a minute there.
Do you understand what a hopper is? You put things in the hopper to pull them out later. You don't get in the hopper.
I felt like
that just makes it dirty.
An old wooden boat.
Yeah, an old wooden ship.
If you've got some stuff in the hopper, you've got some stuff you're gonna, you know, do later or use later. Okay. You're not crawling in it.
I kind of visualize it as a kiln where they fire pottery.
Well, no, it's like
portable, Kara. You can take it with you to
maybe
pull
it's
the
plastic.
This is a tiny hopper. All I know is that if you spent any time in a grain hopper, you would come out very much worse for the wear. Okay, I'm from the Midwest.
Yeah,
I've seen lots
maybe
of grain
other
hoppers.
Colonels know what you're you talking
wanna,
about, but we have no idea.
You don't want to climb down in a hopper.
We'll take your word for
bad
it.
Bad things, man.
Well, Kelly Sofer wrote in, and she says, hard to figure out the parameters, or barometers, she wrote, of your question.
Touche.
Too bad she wasn't as attentive as Callahan
MacGyver.
Yeah. But she said
if
she wanted...
If a Scottish guy can get the rules, I would hope.
Parameters!
She wants a hot pink Vespa, which would be, that'd be cool.
Sweet.
Or a date within this decade.
If you're a girl.
Oh.
Yeah. But, and she also had a little side note that I think is fun. She said, on an entirely different note, do you guys realize that you are sort of a Christian Bizarro Seinfeld group? Kara, you're Elaine, but she's not sure who the guys are.
Okay, Joe Philippus in Joe, You're My Hero. He says, for Christmas, I would like the skeleton of Antonio Vivaldi. Imagine the delight in your friend's eyes as they come over to play your Super Nintendo and stumble upon the remains of one of the greatest violinists ever to walk this earth. He says, I know that Vivaldi isn't quite Mozart or Beethoven, but that's the beauty of it. The fuzz won't be on your case, I guess, for taking a skeleton. Besides, who wants a deaf skeleton anyway? So,
what?
You've hit upon a couple amazing comedic things here. First of all, skeletons, always funny. Secondly, when you make them of second-tier 18th-century composers, that's a comic goldmine. Yeah, well done, my friend.
Very random.
I hope Santa brings it to you.
Also very random is what Greg Dotson asked for. He said nothing would make him more happy than Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now board game. which I'm 90% sure doesn't exist, but he said it is available now at Target.com, and he left
so
a
letter. Yes, why it would does. He say
it doesn't exist?
No,
of
it, course
does.
It does. It yeah. does exist.
Your best board game?
Yes. Absolutely. It's on Target. Shocking.
Oh, you're saying you don't think it exists?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Of course it exists.
Yeah.
We looked it up.
Now, no way.
If there's a Target product link...
I didn't know if he was linking to some sort of joke.
It actually exists.
Because then he said,
they
I want to...
They don't sell it in stores, only online.
Yeah.
He said, I want to feel, touch, and live.
On Target.com, it says only available online.
Yeah, at Target, though, like, they don't sell it in the Target stores, but it's available in stores.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a regular board.
So do you compete to live the best life in the board game?
There's sure only
do.
One winner. Only one person will go to heaven.
Now, not a lot of people know this.
It's a works-driven salvation.
Not a lot of people know this, but the podcast has a home game. And all it is it's a bunch of cards with random stuff, and you and your friends can sit around and talk about the stuff.
Yeah. But you have to talk into imaginary microphones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it comes with
which are not included.
Yeah, that's the upgrade, the expansion pack.
Yeah, what do you think? We're made of money here?
It's all about profit margin, people.
Adam Clark says, I think Kara should ask for a bottle of cough medicine.
Oh.
Sorry, I was sick.
Yeah, she was a trooper. She shouldn't have been here. And she pushed through for you people. You ungrateful. Right.
You guys should be praying for me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
She had
critical
to drag
people.
Her IV tree in here.
Who was that? What was his name?
Adam Clark.
Adam Clark did not listen to us when we talked about not having a critical spirit and being critical about others, you know?
Well, you know, speaking of Kara and her
phlegm.
You know, just her place on this podcast.
Oh.
Someone said that in our big debate last week that when Kara came in with the final word and someone mentioned a gavel, Christian from San Luis Obispo, California, San Luis Obispo, California, said that she just sounds right. And no matter what she's talking about, that she's just the authority on the matter. And... He says, why do Judge Judy and all these other C-list actors have court shows or even the Judge Reinhold show? Why not Kara's court?
Mm.
You can sell disputes in the office and from the message boards, and people present their cases, and you would just pronounce binding legal judgments.
Is like that, King Solomon.
Yeah. Is that what he wants for Christmas?
Sure. Sure. That's what he's getting.
Kara can be bought.
Wish granted, yeah.
Yes.
Well, Sherry in Japan, she wrote in, she said, the Christmas present I would want the most is a Super Extendo machine, which doesn't exist, but...
But neither does a castle on a moon.
Yeah. So, she said that I live in a tiny apartment near Tokyo, and with this Super Extendo machine would unfold in layers on a time and space within the dorm-sized apartment.
I love it.
I feel your pain.
Outside, it would look the same, but when you step into what was once a hallway and kitchen, it is now a huge room with a fireplace and a real stove and oven. So,
love it.
Yeah. It's got a piano, library full of English books.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In Tokyo.
I so feel your pain. I live in a tiny apartment. It's a great location. Just coolest neighborhood in the world. Really awesome apartment, but it's like 500 square feet, and we have an easy bake oven as our sole source of cooking things. We're cooking
and
stuff
heat.
With a light bulb. Yeah, that's the only heat we have. And you know how blustery winters are here in Orlando. And we're keeping warm by the light of an easy bake oven.
Corey Mortimer, I love that name.
Mortimer.
Said if he could have anything for Christmas, it would be a job with Relevant Magazine. Too bad, Corey Mortimer.
What do you do, Corey?
Nothing
good enough.
Was there a resume attached to that?
No.
Ironically, it said t-shirt size large.
People stop. You notice people have kind of stopped doing that.
It's tapered
off. Because we were openly mocking them.
Yeah, that's true.
Although every once in a while, people will still do that, kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. You know,
hoping. Yeah,
to be openly mocked.
Emma wants a squirrel, a happy one with a thick-shaped, bushy tail. A squirrel may be an odd present, but someone has to care for them. I would name him Fandango the Squirrel.
Nature cares for them.
Hey, I got news for you.
They're doing fine without
you. They're scavengers.
I got news for you. I know where a whole bunch of free ones are. So it's called the woods. Another Tyler sent one and says, since he was 6 years old, I've wanted to have the crazy fishbowl pencil sharpener set up that Nicholas uses to sharpen pencils crayon on top of on the intro to McGee and Me. If I only had the setup.
What? No, I know McGee. Well, I vaguely know McGee and Me. I know of McGee and Me. But the way that that was described, I can't make heads or tails of it.
What do you mean?
What is it? What are they talking about?
The pencil sharpener fishbowl contraption at the intro to the show.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Hey, it's his wish, you know?
Okay. To each their own. Mary Torito. Kind of sounds like Mary Dorito.
I'm getting hungry.
I would marry a Dorito.
We had some
right
Funyuns.
About now.
I would love some Doritos.
I'd love some Doritos. They're cherry Doritos.
Wash them back with some cherry.
Write it down,
NyQuil.
Folks. That's gold right there. If I could receive anything for Christmas, she says, I would like to take as much time as I want to see any and every place in the world and have it completely paid for. I think she broke the rules. That's a little open-ended.
It's not tangible. Yeah.
That's a little, I want more wishes.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want? Do you want the airline tickets? Do you want the airline tickets? Then ask for airline. Yeah. Do you want hotel paid for? Oh, that's two things.
Well, it's no super extendo machine.
It certainly isn't. That falls clearly within the parameters.
Yeah. Well, Jackie said if I can have a castle on the moon, then she wants a smart house. And she asked, do you remember that movie, the Disney movie Forever Ago? Yeah, Smart House. I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch a movie to get to the specifics. Hold on.
She's saying that like as though it was a cultural phenomenon that everybody saw.
Do you remember that Smart House? I camped out for it.
I have absolutely no idea what she's talking about.
I don't either.
But apparently,
Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, apparently.
That is that what you're talking about?
I like
people
the chair.
Get those confused.
I like the steering chair in Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
And his younger brother is older than him. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay, well that's what she wants.
Well, I guess
it's that Johnny DVD. Five Alive.
All right, Adam Koning here. He says,
"I was going to explain."
No, that's what she's getting.
I was going to explain.
She's getting a Flight of the Navigator. No, she's getting a Flight of the Navigator flying
special
chair
edition.
Pod chair.
Man, thing. How awesome would that be?
That'd be incredible.
Why haven't they made a steering contraption like that? You know,
it's in the line right after the hoverboard.
Well, it seems like it's way more efficient than a wheel, way more comfortable. I'd rather have my arms at my side with two little chrome globes.
What happens if you've got to pick your nose? Would you veer off the road?
Well, I mean, I'm
or
sure.
Scratch? What do you have to scratch?
Can you steer with your knees?
Does it have a brake?
Yeah, if you sit like this with your knees up.
Because I steer with my knees a lot. So, yeah.
MythBusters created hoverboards on the show this week.
That is ridiculous.
What? Yes, and they made it with like the engines from vacuum cleaners. They took the engine out.
Are you saying like just a regular vacuum cleaner?
Wait, so it was air. So it wasn't like a magnetic thing or whatever.
Right.
I could make one of these at home is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, hover boats are like that. It's just a billow of air.
Now, did they ride them?
Yes, they did. They had a race.
Did they ride pretty well?
Yes, not in water. They didn't do so well in water.
Well, like you can't go over everyone water. That seems Back to the Future knows that.
As Griff said,
but on dry
those things
land.
Don't go on water unless you got power.
Yeah. Right.
Well, here's my question. What do they do with all that junk after they make it?
Sell it?
Oh, and they did. I think they modified it with leaf blower engines. Yeah. And like one guy was steering with a leaf blower under his arm.
That'd be fairly cheap. Leaf blowers and stuff aren't that expensive.
Their budget was $500 for each hoverboard.
Really?
Wow.
And they worked. I think they went over it. But yeah, they worked for sure.
I'm sure you can order the episode on DVD or something.
No, not really fast.
They're probably as fast as you can push yourself.
But they balance, you know, just balance themselves.
Could I run faster than the hoverboards were going?
Yes. Oh. Absolutely.
I think it has, you know, just like a skateboard, you have to push off.
I can.
While they were creating them, the one guy, the smart guy, wears the beret.
Yeah.
He made a backpack with leaf blower engines and put on inline skates and was going around the parking lot with a jet pack.
I would love to see him.
That was one of the greatest shows ever.
Yeah.
If you're going downhill, you'd be going pretty fast.
Well, we having this discussion the other day where you can watch MythBusters and you can be watching episode after episode and you're like, did my entire day just go watch MythBusters?
Literally, I've sat there from the time I woke up in the morning to the time I went to bed at night. Like, what happened to today?
Yeah, it is
all
dark.
All I've done is watch MythBusters.
Yeah, I got up at 9 o'clock this morning and it is dark and all I've done is watch MythBusters.
And yet I feel wiser.
The same episode they tested the myth that
smelly.
If you're in a falling elevator, if you jump,
I've seen that one.
It was the same episode.
What was the first half?
What was the myth? Was it Buster?
It was on while you were showering.
No, Buster.
After
the
3 days straight,
the
of
dummy
watching
was obliterated.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it was violent.
Because you're still at the same velocity. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still going to hit the ground the same speed.
It was horribly violent.
Okay, so moving on. Justin Whittinghill wrote in, and he also lives in Japan. So apparently we've got a booming listenership in the Far East.
Really?
Yeah.
We're taking over out there.
That's the word. That's word on the street.
Mm-hmm. We're huge in Japan.
I want a shirt that says that.
I believe
Relevant Magazine, huge in Japan.
I believe Forever Changed had a shirt that said that.
Oh, really?
It said Forever Changed, we're huge in Japan.
Dang it. Stupid Forever Changed.
They broke up, so you can...
Oh, so we can take it.
Yeah.
We can just buy their leftovers and paste Relevant Magazine. Just
masking tape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, he says he lives in Japan. His Christmas wish is a device that immediately translates spoken language into any other language. For some reason, I can only picture it looking like Maverick's helmet from Top Gun, complete with detachable face mask. When someone speaks, you hear the English translation, or whichever language you choose, in a robotic Val Kilmer voice. Then you can answer by clipping on the mask and speaking in your native language, which would be translated and broadcast through the helmet. Also, your helmet would assess the nature of the conversation and insert Top Gun quotes whenever they're even remotely applicable. For example, would you like some more squid? Answer, that's a negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
Wow.
Basically, I just want to go about my day a little more easily, but still quote Top Gun with the frequency to which I'm accustomed.
Wow.
Which I can tell you is a lot.
Yeah. This gift alone will bring me happiness on Christmas morning. Or Adam could nominate me for Kentucky Colonel, citing my goodwill ambassadorship to Japan my years of Top Gun related language research and experimentation.
I can vouch for that.
Thank you, Justin Whittingham.
Wow.
Wow.
Kyle Dietz wants a green lightsaber autographed by Yoda.
That'd be awesome.
That would not be awesome.
A real what? Lightsaber, yes, not real a toy. Autographed by Yoda himself.
No, because it cuts arms off and legs.
That's why it's awesome. Oh. Hardy.
Yeah, I think you're mistaking qualities that make it awesome
for things that would make it not awesome.
R.D. Haynes, who is in Canada, we have a lot of listeners up there apparently too, really wanted a Christmas card telling me that a community has just received a mobile health clinic. But instead, because of the parameters of our contest, he would take a Lego car, like an actual car made out of Legos. And his reasoning, of course, they have an electric engine, so it's safe for the environment. But his reason is that if one day he wants to drive a convertible, all he's got to do is shift around some Legos. But if he needs a minivan to haul the kids around, bingo. Next day, he's got a sweet chopper because it's Legos, which is pretty smart. I don't know how close that is to becoming reality, though.
But it doesn't do well at Crash. Right. Especially if you hit another Lego car, because they could actually combine into one big car.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
How would you know which pieces were yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You'd have to have all the same color Legos for each car.
But who wants that?
Yeah.
You know? That wouldn't look like a real car at all.
I got a couple unrelated emails here. One guy wrote in and said he stumbled onto our podcast, which is usually how people find it, and he really enjoys it. Question, do you know of any other podcasts that are similar to yours? By this, I mean people sitting around just talking about life and culture in a humorous way from a Christian perspective.
No.
I'm dying to get more of this thing, but can't find anything else similar to your show. So let me get this straight. He likes what we're doing, wants to know if anybody else is doing the exact same thing.
Is anyone else ripping
That's
us off?
Do
you have
nice.
Any direct competitors that I could support?
Yeah.
Please let me know. Thank you very much.
I guess we're not enough for him.
All right.
Here's what you do. If you want more like this, listen to this podcast twice.
Yeah.
And buy the home game.
Yeah. Get the home game. Sit around with your friends. Talk about this stuff.
Got one other one here. Dear Relevant Team, one other thought to enhance the podcast even more. He's acting like there's other ones, it sounds like the end of an email, but it was the beginning of an email. One other thought to enhance the podcast even more, bring Sean Romano back with his conspiracy segment. The MSG story was fascinating. Sincerely, Sean Romano. No, Matt Wheeler wrote in.
I agree.
We loved having Sean on, but I can tell you this. We unearthed some big things, some things that maybe... we're a bit too dangerous.
We haven't seen Sean in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And shortly thereafter, several of us on staff got horribly sick from MSG.
Yeah.
That was all the coughing.
Story. Yeah.
Actually, that is true. It's not the coughing. No, for real. Like,
we really did.
The week after the podcast,
I was
three of us ate at the same restaurant, completely different times, and got violently ill. Payway.
Payway.
Really?
Yeah. And I missed a day. You missed a day. Matt Andrews missed it. Alistair missed a day.
All separately.
Yeah.
Violent. I've never experienced that before.
I eat pay away yeah. relatively once a month.
The thing is, yeah, we got too close.
Once a month. Was that, were you saying that like that's regularly?
Well,
but
I'm
he's got all the trans fat lining in his stomach, so yeah. MSG
he's
doesn't.
Been eating all those Funyuns.
Well,
and stuff,
we eat there weekly, and I don't normally get sick from it. But week we did the right MSG after, segment, mm-hmm. we
got that's weird.
I wonder if it was psychosomatic.
No, it was big MSG coming to
the stuff coming out of me says it was not psychosomatic.
Too much detail.
Stuff that's, coming out of the hopper.
Yeah. That toilet is full of psychosomatic stuff.
Hey, the mind is powerful.
Powerful. So
it's true. Okay, so that'll do feedback. What's this week's editorial question of the week?
Editorial question of the week. Hey.
When you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up?
And what are you now?
Yeah.
Yes.
At what point did things take a turn?
I want a compare and contrast statement.
And yes, what happened?
Absolutely.
Well, when I was little, I stayed home from school one day when I was sick. And I was eight, the house that I set the backyard over. So. And I wasn't really sick. I was faking it. And the entire back porch, I set up a store. And I like all my toys I had set up, I had tables, everything, whatever, made signs. And it was Cameron Enterprises. We would, we had publishing, retail, and amusement parks.
So you're very close to.
I'm one-third of the way there.
You're a couple roller coasters away.
I'm working on two-thirds, and yeah. and then next amusement parks.
Yeah.
Hey, a boy can dream, right?
That's yeah. right. I don't know who didn't have dreams of being an athlete. You know, like baseball player or something.
Not me. I wanted to.
You want to be a shopkeeper?
But I wanted to have a publishing empire.
Astronaut was big for a while. Superhero.
I wanted to go to space camp. I probably would have been an astronaut if my parents would let me go to space camp.
I wanted to be a writer. So,
we should rent the movie Space Camp.
That's a great movie.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's so cool.
I want to see it.
I wanted to be a pediatrician. Of course, I spent a lot of time at the doctor's office.
So for your all hacking, I knew. For your nagging cough?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No. For the cough?
No.
Same cough 30 years later? 20 years later.
You need to start shooting back whiskey.
Okay, so if you want to answer the question, write into editorial@relevantmagazine.com or feedback@relevantmagazine.com and let us know what you want to be when you were a kid, what you wanted to be when you grew up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Is that all the rules? It's not just ages 6 to 8?
Right.
Okay. So anytime under 18.
Right.
Okay.
I want to be a Scottish crime-fighting PI.
Callahan McIver. Thank you very much to Tara Lee Cobble. You can check her out at taraleecobble.com. And again, her book and album that are new are both called Here's to Hindsight. So definitely check those out. You know, you won't be disappointed. I can tell you that. They're available at Amazon.com or you can get the book at relevantstore.com. And on that note, that'll do it for this week's edition of the podcast. Make sure you tune in next week for the grand finale of Versus and the announcement of what the next game is going to be.
Mm, so you don't want to miss it.
You won't want to miss it. So we have a week to figure it out. Okay. On that note, I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Kara Davis.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Callahan McIver.
We'll see you next week.
I finally learned the true meaning of Christmas.